had a beautiful summer in September. Not much in June, July, or August, but we're thankful for every day that the Lord gives us, and we have reason to praise Him. Let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you now and ask your blessing on our gathering together. We pray that you would empower me by the Holy Spirit of God to speak the word of God, that your people will be blessed, and that anyone who does not know Christ as their Savior will have a desire to put their faith and trust in him. We give you thanksgiving and praise. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn with me in your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. A very familiar portion of Scripture. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And we'll stop there. The fruit of the Spirit. Those things which we possess as believers in Christ and use that bring the greatest satisfaction in life are love, joy, and peace. And it brings greatest blessing to our Lord, too, when we exhibit these fruits of the Spirit. And you'll notice that fruit is singular. All of these segments are like the segments of an orange. It's the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit produces in us. We cannot produce these qualities on our own. If they are real and effective in our lives, they are produced by the Holy Spirit of God. Love, joy, and peace. This is what most rationally thinking people in the world are really looking for in their lives. But there are always people with Satan-possessed minds that rob others of any joy, and certainly it is from hearts of hatred that they attempt to disrupt the peace. And goodness only knows there's enough of that going on in the world that we live in today. The first one is love. All people need to be loved by someone so that they can function properly as a human being. Anyone who feels unloved will be dysfunctional in their way of living. People who are unloved or feel that they are unloved sometimes will commit suicide. As a police officer in a small town of Beardmore, Ontario, up in the north, I had occasion to arrest a young lad one time for a crime that he had committed. And when I apprehended him, I noticed that he was trying to open a big jackknife that he had, was about 6 inches long, so the blade would be about 6 inches as well. I took it away from him and said, "What were you going to do with that?" He said, "I'm going to kill myself." "Why would you want to kill yourself?" He says, "Because nobody loves me. Nobody loves me." What's the first thing that comes into your mind when you think of love? Is it another person or is it God himself? We all desire to have someone to love and be loved by them, but our God is a God of love. Scripture tells us that, and we who have trusted in Christ as our Savior have personally experienced God's marvelous love in our lives and in our hearts. In 1 John 1:8 it says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Love is not something that God does, it's who he is. He is a God of love. Love is not something that he does, it's who he is. That's difficult for us to get our minds around that thought. But God's love is the most important gift of God. It is preeminent and it's permanent. Jeremiah 31 and 5 tells us, God has loved us with an everlasting love. And that's permanent, an everlasting love. Can you think of in your lifetime, there may be times when you would think, well, what I've been doing or the way my life has been going, nobody could love me when I'm like this. But God always loves you. God is love. There are three words in Scripture that describe love. The first one is eros, and from which we get the word erotic, which is not love, but it's lust. And we know that lust is sin. The second word is phileo, which is a word which could be used to describe something someone we really like, or something that we really enjoy. Like I could say, I love warm peach pie and ice cream. Some of you know that. That's my favorite, I think. I love it. But that kind of love is not the same kind of a love as we're really talking about here. I also love going boating. We didn't do an awful lot of that this summer because of the weather and other things that happened. But that's not the kind of love we're talking about. The third word is agape, and that is a deep love, a true love that gives without expecting anything in return. That is how Almighty Holy God loves us. Note that the first two, eros and phileo, are about what I can get out of it. But agape love is what I can give to someone else. And that's how God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There's nothing that God could have given that was more precious and more valuable than his own Son. Romans 5, verse 8 says, for God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. Turn, please, to the book of Ephesians, just over a couple of pages. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. God demonstrates his love. He just doesn't say, I love you, and leave it there. He demonstrates his love to all of mankind, even when we were lost sinners and enemies of God. Yet he loves us by his grace. He has saved us and made us alive and brought us into a personal relationship with him. That, and in the ages to come, it will even get better yet. When we are with our Lord in the glorious place he has gone to prepare for us, who are his born-again children. What kind of love is that? Galatians 2:20 says, "The Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me." That's how our Lord Jesus demonstrated his love for each one of us. The Lord Jesus has suffered such deep agony on the cross, shed his precious blood, and died that we could be saved from the guilt and penalty of our sin, born again, and made us children of God. There's a song, a very beautiful song. It's called, "How Deep the Father's Love for Us, How Vast Beyond All Measure, That He Should Give His Only Son to Make a Wretch His Treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns his face away, as wounds which mark the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished." What kind of love is that? That is agape love. Even when we were enemies and sinners, our Lord suffered and bled, shed his blood and died for us. 1 John 4, verses 15 and 16, so it says, "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. He who abides in love abides in God and God in him." And then in verse 19 it says, "We love him because he first loved us." Do we love him the way he has loved us? Not likely. None of us could possibly love like our Lord has loved you and me. Love is an action word. If we just say the words, "I love you," it's not really effective. The words we say must be put into action to demonstrate our love. And 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is the love chapter in the Bible. And the Apostle Paul describes love in 15 action verbs. And when we carry out these action verbs, we are displaying the very character of God himself. Finally, in that chapter, love is permanent. It outlasts all the other gifts given to the church because love never fails. Are you really loved and know it? God really loves you. No matter where you are, what you are doing, God loves you. We are told in God's word that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. We're also told to love one another. Also, it is by this that others will know that we are Christ's disciples, when we have love one for another. Some of us are easier to love than others. But it's to be one of the evidences that we belong to Christ because we are known for our love for all God's people, regardless. And in the same way our Lord has loved us. John 15 and 12, we are even instructed to love our enemies. Love isn't love until you give it away. I wonder, how am I doing at carrying out God's instructions for me about love? The next one is joy. Everyone desires to have a life filled with joy. And the opposite of joy is sadness, and no one wants that. Too many people in this world are sad because they don't have the joy of the Lord in their hearts. The world we live in looks for joy in all the wrong places. They look for joy in amusements, sports, relationships, but many of those relationships fail and end in sadness. They look for joy in the wrong kind of people, maybe in alcohol or in parties that end up with just a headache or broken homes and misery. Young women in the office that I worked in at coffee break sometimes would say, "I have a new boyfriend." And I'd say to them, "Where did you find this guy?" And they'd say, "In a bar." I'd say, where did you find the last one?" "In a bar." And I say, "Well, give your head a shake. You're looking in the wrong place. I found my wife at prayer meeting." And I've told somebody the little story about that, but I'm not going to tell you that right now. Anyway, it was at prayer meeting that I first saw her, and that's lasted almost 59 years now. And but people that look in the wrong place for joy in their life are going to be disappointed every time. Okay, where do we get back here? There's a little chorus we used to sing that said, "If you want joy, real joy, wonderful joy, let Jesus come into your heart." That is where real joy starts. You know, you may think you're happy. If you want to be happy, lower your expectations. If you want to have real joy, raise them. Raise your expectations. That is where real joy starts. As lost sinners, we need to invite Jesus into our hearts and lives so that our sin, that which separates us from the real joy that only can be given by God Himself, so that we can be forgiven and we are brought into a right relationship with God, who gives us joy in our hearts and in our lives. It is our Lord's purpose and desire that His children should have joy. Psalm 16 and 11 says, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." Fullness of joy, not just a little bit once in a while, but fullness of joy. But it's when we follow God's path that He lays out for us in our lives where we will enjoy fullness of joy. "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." And as I said, if we follow the path that God has laid out for us and we are obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives, then our joys and pleasures will be full and there will be no sadness. Yes, that there are times when difficulties come into our lives that may bring us sadness on the outside, but nobody can rob you of your joy that you have deep down inside, no matter what happens. John 15 and 11, our Lord Jesus said to His disciples, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." In order to have the joy of the Lord and the fullness of joy our Lord was speaking of, we need to find out what things our Lord had been speaking about to His disciples. And if we just look back a few verses before He spoke this to His disciples, we see that Jesus said to abide in Him and to keep His commandments. And in doing so, His joy would be in us and our joy would be full. Abide in Him and keep His commandments. We need to stay close to the Lord and be obedient to what He tells us to do by His Holy Spirit. All through life, as we are working at and have a job and are employed, there was a time in my life when I was trying to hold down three jobs. And it takes up most of your time to try and cover three jobs. But when I retired, I said to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what you have for me to do, but whatever it is, I'm available. Boy, it didn't take him long to put me to work. And my joy has been more abundant and full ever since I committed myself totally to the Lord. 1 Peter 1 and 8 tells us that our joy is described as inexpressible. In other words, there are just no words to describe how wonderful it is and how we can have inner joy even in times of great difficulty and trials in life. 1 Peter 4:13 tells us that our joy is exceeding great joy, or it goes beyond our wildest imagination. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of joy in your life every day? It's only available in and through the person of Jesus Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit. So we've spoken about fullness of joy, everlasting joy, inexpressible joy, and exceeding great joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength every day. And we can live that kind of a joyful life by allowing the Holy Spirit of God to have complete control in all that I do. Lastly, we've spoken about love, joy. Lastly is peace. All over our world these days, there's little to be found of peace. Just think of places like Las Vegas. People going there because they were looking for pleasure. They were looking for joy. But what happened? A massacre occurred. Other places like Syria, when you see on the television, just the whole country seems to be a mass of rubble. And where are the people that used to live there? They're all over the place trying to find peace. But carrying all your belongings in a little pack sack on your back and walking for hundreds of miles, I don't think there's joy or peace to be found in any of that. Places like Iraq, Iran, Pakistan, where many are being killed every day, beheadings, even little children. Also, we remember the atrocities that have happened all across North Africa in countries like Rwanda and DR Congo in recent years. Then, of course, there's always the turmoil that's going on between Israel and the Arab world around them, Palestine. And there are hundreds of countries all over this world where peace is not to be found. People live in fear and terror every day and every night. Aren't you glad that when you go home, there you can go home and be at peace? You can lie down where it's quiet, comfortable. We are so blessed. We have so much to thank God for in this favored land in which we live. But we need to pray for those in authority in our country, because things are starting to deteriorate rapidly. And the longer we go on, the more it deteriorates. And when we take God out of the country, we take the peace that we enjoy and the joy that we have and the freedom that we have. Just think of places like North Korea threatening the peace of the whole world lately. And for the most part, our country, Canada, is a land of peace, freedom, and plenty. There, you go to the grocery store, and the shelves are packed with everything that you can imagine. Stuff that you don't need, a few things that we do need. But there's other countries like Zimbabwe, for instance, where in the grocery stores there's nothing on the shelves. Nothing. And if they do get a few loaves of bread in or something like that, how would you like to pay $2,000 for a loaf of bread? Well, we live in a favored land. Then you think about what happened in Quebec in recent years, where even in Ottawa, our capital, where there have been threats of terrorism, and a soldier standing on guard at the memorial was shot to death. And in Quebec, there were military people shot to death. There are police officers being shot. I'm fortunate in those that were shooting at me while I was in the police force. I heard the bullets going by my ears, but the Lord protected me through it all. We don't live in a land of complete peace. I received an email while I was preparing this message, and I'll just share a little bit of it with you. On July the 15th this year, 2017, a pastor, Sultan Masish, I think it is, was shot dead as he spoke on his cell phone outside the Temple of God Church in the largest city in India, Punjab State. He had been repeatedly threatened and approached by groups of men in the area to stop preaching about Jesus. Yet the pastor, who had worked for the church for 20 years, refused to give in to them. So he was shot dead on the steps of the church. This past August the 18th, 2017, three Christian Kenyan men were beheaded by Al-Shabaab militants after refusing to recite the Islamic prayer of faith. Three Christian men beheaded. On August the 30th, 2017, Sharoon, a 17-year-old Pakistani Christian student, was beaten to death by his Muslim classmates. This event took place after he drank from the only water fountain at the school, which was for Muslims only. He was the only Christian in his class at the school. Peace? Where is peace today? Romans 3:15-17 says, "Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace they have not known." And that describes the world that we live in today, does it not? Even those who, at least by word of mouth, say they want peace, but Scripture tells us they will say, "Peace, peace," but there is no peace until the Prince of Peace has come. Folks, it's not getting any better, and the root cause is sin. When Jesus was born, you recall that in Luke 2 and 14, the angels announced to the shepherds, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." But where is that peace today? It is not there because the world in general has rejected the Prince of Peace. They have rejected Christ our Lord. How can we have personal peace in this world today? Acts 10 and 37 says, "Preaching peace through Jesus Christ." Through faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we can enjoy peace with God, the peace of God, and peace from God, no matter what is going on all around us in the world. In Luke 7:50, Jesus said to the woman who had anointed his feet, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It requires our personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and he will give us his peace. One of the favorite phrases used by the Apostle Paul in his epistles is, "Peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And as believers in Christ, we have peace, and it's a present possession. We have peace. John 14:27, Jesus said to his disciples and to us today, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Where does our peace come from? It is from the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our peace. There's no cause for fear when our hearts could be troubled. You know, folks, if you're upset and worried about the things that are going on all around you, and there's lots of cause for that, I suppose, just turn it over to the Lord. Commit it to Him. Let Him worry about it. Do you think God worries about the things that are going on? Well, not a chance. Our God is in control. Don't worry. Have His peace. Romans 15:13, one of my favorite verses. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." And it only comes through a personal belief and coming into a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. I spoke on this verse over at Peterborough Manor one time, and there was a man came to me afterwards there, a senior gentleman, and he said, "I wish I had that kind of peace and that kind of hope." So I tried to explain to him very simply how he could have that hope and that peace. But I don't believe he ever trusted Christ, at least not to my knowledge, before he passed into an eternity without God and without hope and without peace and joy. Finally, Romans 15:33 says, "Now may the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Love, joy, and peace, all fruits of the Holy Spirit. And we cannot generate it ourselves, but as believers in Christ and as part of the family of God, we can know real love and have fullness of joy with our hearts and lives at total peace. So may it be so for each one of you here today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your great love to us, love that knows no measure and no bound, love that gave your only well-beloved Son, who came into this world to save sinners. And I praise you and thank you that He has provided a way of redemption, that we could be saved from the penalty of our sin and be given eternal life. We have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, how can we estimate the value of your love, your peace, and your joy that you give to us? Father, we just pray for each one here today that as they would come into a personal relationship with you, our God, by accepting Christ Jesus as their Savior and Lord, that you would fill each one with your love, your joy, and your peace. And we ask your blessing and praise you and thank you in Jesus' worthy and holy name. Amen.